The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning, too. It is A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and, of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. What's happening?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Doing very well. You got the madness? You got the March mania?
Oh, I got the fever.
The fever.
Yeah, I love the, we try to avoid copyright stuff and just manias everywhere now. Like, everything's March mania.
Mayhem. Does Brent Musburger get the credit for saying March Madness first? I don't think he was first, but he was the one who popularized it.
Great question.
Yeah. VSiN founder Brent Musburger, the legend that he is. We have a great show. Joe Pita will join us here momentarily. It is so great to have Joe Pita back betting stuff.
Yeah.
We will talk National League Baseball with him. It was kind of American League heavy last time. So Pita will be here to talk National League with us. He's got some college basketball thoughts as well. How to best bet stuff these days. He has an angle on that. Will Hill, after his wonderful Megapod performance yesterday. By the way, can I just say the Megapod? The Beating the Book podcast Megapod. It is our most downloaded episode of the calendar year. Our March Madness one. Todd Wishnev, Will Hill. We go bracket by bracket, ATS, and straight up. So in other words, which team advances in your bracket? Is there a bet, ATS? And it never fails, the Megapod does, in terms of producing some surprising picks for down the road. So Will has three really surprising Elite Eight picks. Todd has three really surprising Elite Eight picks. Will even has a surprising Final Four pick. Maybe we'll get into that when he shows up on the show today. Drew Dinsick will join us. He's got some NCAA stuff as well, Drew does, huh? Is that correct? Is that what I'm saying?
I think a little bit. I don't know how heavy he's got.
All right, so he's NBA heavy as typical. We'll see if he's betting anything in Miami and tennis as well. The second half of the Sunshine Double on the tennis tour. They went from Indian Wells to Miami. Slow hards to fast hards. And then Jason Lisk will join us, our old friend from Team Rankings, also from Pool Genius, where he also works, for some bracket strategery. We look forward to that as well. I don't know if he'll do as well as we did yesterday with bracket strategy. We kind of nailed it.
Nailed it. Yeah, no, looking forward to talking to Jason about that. Rick Gaiman going to join the show tomorrow, too, to do a little bit of that as well. He always does it. Puts together a great video, great stuff every year for Survivor, Bracket, just all the kind of game theory stuff you need to know when you're playing these things.
Can we talk about, again, Survivor? So I entered my annual Survivor thing. I think Unabated, for those who are like interested in a Survivor poll,
I think
Unabated is doing one this
year.
Our friends Captain Jack, Rufus, Tom Viola, all those guys doing it over there. Old Tommy Viola. I think they're doing a Survivor, but I just want to, if I have one cause, one thing that I can get across daily here that I'm just going to beat the dead horse on is Survivor is, again, the ultimate thing for the NCAA because it's multidimensional, right? It's not just linear like NFL Survivor is where you can't pick the same team twice and it's 20 weeks when you have the circa quirks of Thanksgiving and Christmas. But the brilliance of Survivor in the NCAAs is that it's a bracket. And so the bracket causes a multi-level layer of handicapping. So you have to not only you can lose, in other words, getting knocked out the traditional way. Oh, my team didn't survive on this entry, so this entry is gone. Or you can get knocked out because you just ran out of teams. Right? You never run out of teams in the NFL.
Right.
You're always looking to avoid underdogs. In the NCAA Survivor form, you are no doubt going to have to pick underdogs at some point, and you have to maneuver it in a way that you're constantly trying to anticipate not only what others are doing, but also that you have something alive bracket by bracket or round by round. So, again, shout out to our Unabated folks who are doing a Survivor pool. I will give you my Survivor, my gem Survivor little note when we talk to Jason Lisk a little later, which I don't know if anybody else talks about with Survivor. We here at VSiN are doing a couple things that you need to know. We don't usually start the show by promoting stuff, but we're doing so much right now that I think it needs to be promoted, which is that Adam Burke, first of all, with our college basketball betting guide, the March Madness betting guide, is now available and out there, and it is... I mean, we always say this about Burke's stuff, that it's always great, right? But, you know, his baseball thing might be his bread and butter, But this thing is unbelievable. March Mania betting guide, pro edition. For it's you know, you can, it's part of the $9.99 first 30 days Visa Pro subscription. The guide includes profiles of every single NCAA tournament team, trends for every round, strategies for brackets and futures. It's all at VSiN.com/subscribe. So the March Mania betting guide is out. Pro edition.
It's awesome. I got a lot to get to today, Gil. We got golf. We got long shots coming up later, but this is going to need to be a sit down and take a couple hours with this beast, because it is
the beast.
We talk about it often. You say it best, but the guides that we do for the sports, I think it's some of the best things.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Do in VSiN. And it's you're right. With Adam Burke, baseball, and then college basketball right behind it are maybe two of the best.
I do think of this, like when I was like 20 years ago, we died for something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, oh my God, a betting guide? Are you kidding me? Now VSiN just throws them out. Adam and crew, Zach Cohen and Matt Humans, and everybody works on them so hard. Wes Reynolds, just throw them out every sports season.
I like to be like, just throw them out. It doesn't take a bunch of time to put it together at all.
Just throw them out.
Pretty sure poor Adam passed out at his desk the other night.
Well, that's how I meant it. They throw them out 4 or 5 times a year. It's unbelievable what they do. Okay, and we have our own bracket challenge. Have you entered this yet?
I have not yet.
I have registered. I have not put in my picks. But VSiN has its bracket challenge. Now, VSiN did a bracket challenge when VSiN first started. Were you here when we did the...
I was not here for year one.
Okay, so James Salinas won it that year. James Salinas, who won the super contest 1 year, he just, you know, messed around and was like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and win this bracket challenge too at VSiN.
I love Salinas. I'm sitting over here laughing, though. Cause you remember that random day at the D? He just came walking up.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, hey, James, I haven't seen you in 2 years.
He looks great, by the way. He's just healthy, retired. He doesn't care. March bracket challenge. This is the VSiN March Bracket Challenge. This is available to enter now. It's at VSiN.com/contest. Registration is open. It's $5,000 in prize money. First prize is $3,000.
I'm taking it all.
Second, well, you're not eligible.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Second place is $1,500. Third place is $500. And this is unlike your typical brackets or your survivor pools, which are just, hey, teams to advance. This is against the spread and totals, as is our want here at VSiN. By the way, want is a strange word, isn't it? Yeah. Want.
Totals, too, huh? I did not catch that.
Oh, yeah, you could do sides or totals.
I just retweeted it as well. I know if you're watching at home, you can see VSiN.com/contest. I did just retweet the link as well, so you can go to my Twitter and catch it there. At Kelly Bidley.
Format here is you get 20. You have to pick 20 sides or totals first round, 10 second round, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Love it.
20, 10, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Love it.
And if you're on top at the end of that, you're the winner. That's how it goes. And a whole bunch of VSiN folks, VSiN hosts, are going to be in this. We can't win the money, but you also can say, I crushed you, Gil Alexander.
That's right.
You can say that.
Or we can keep you from winning money, possibly.
No,
no, because we'd
not
all just
true.
Get removed from the leaderboard.
No, because if you finished first and listener X finished second, you're not keeping
they
them
just
from
move
the money.
Up, yeah.
That's right. So,
or if Gil finishes fourth and someone's fifth.
Don't try to mess this up, Gil. You're trying to mess up the challenge. Don't do that.
That's what I do.
That's what I do.
That's what I do.
Anyway, so all that is available. And this is the beauty of this week, right? Because it's we can all sort of back away a little bit from the traditional sports bets and do these fun things, whether it's bracket challenge, whether it's your traditional bracket pool, whether it's Survivor, any of those things. By the way, some people get into Calcuttas. We'll talk to Jason Lisk about it a little later. Tennis is back, though. I mentioned this. It is the second half of the Sunshine Double. This is where the hard court season will ultimately now give way to clay after this. This is the last hard court tournament in earnest here. Again, Indian Wells for me was not good. Disaster. Keisterization, as I called it, which kind of came out of the blue. New surface. Didn't work out. This is back to fast. I've got two plays. The ladies begin today. I've got two plays. Olga Danilovich at -115 versus Haley Baptiste. And I'm on Jessica Buzas Monero at +119 versus Lucia Bronzetti. I think both of these prices are a little better than they are now, but not so much better that you can't play them. Danilovich and Buzas Monero, the picks tonight, today in Miami, where it used to be in lovely Key Biscayne, but now is in the parking lot of the Hard Rock, which is the ambiance of exactly what you'd think, a parking lot of a stadium.
So bad.
You can hear the cars honking their horns on the freeways right behind the courts.
They got to do something about that. Like, really got to do something about it. I mean, South Florida is way too gorgeous of an area for you to stick a tournament there.
Well, I'll tell you what might happen. They might, it might not be in Miami moving forward. Somebody's going to buy that thing, I think. Anyway, I made one future play in it. Actually, two, but with the same person. Naomi Osaka, who was terrible in the first round at Indian Wells. I mean, she was awful. She called it, like, one of the worst matches she's ever played. And so you go with the quarters here in this tournament, and quarter two is weak, and she's in it. And I'm just saying, if she plays like her numbers indicate that she should be playing, and she's not hurt, those are two big ifs, but 66-1 to win it and 7-1 to win her quarter. I played both of those in her quarter. That's a Coco Gauff quarter, and Coco's not been playing great. But other than that,
12-1 at DraftKings.
Oh, there you go. 12-1 to win her quarter?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Is that right? 12-1 to win her quarter. Oh, grab that. On Osaka, because if things break your way, 12-1 is a nice juicy price on that.
I might check that that other shop too. That was a little long on Indian Wells.
That's right.
The other week.
Well, except that they only take once the number gets long, they're like, we'll take your $64 or whatever it is. Anyway, so those are the only two plays in Miami that I made in the futures, and those are the first two plays as we look to bounce back from that horrible tournament here in Miami for the ladies' side. Men start tomorrow. So tennis picks will sort of blossom starting tomorrow, but that's where we are now.
So what, the couple days of qualies, and then we're getting started?
Well, yeah, women start today.
Okay.
With about, I don't know, like 18 matches or something like that. Don't hold me to that. And then the men start qualies, men today. As far as I could tell last night anyway. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe they threw them out and I missed something, but that's where we are now. Two plays on the ladies' side, and then Osaka to win the quarter and the tourney. On the WTA side, Joe Pita next, right here on The Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Want to bet smarter? You can start with smarter insights. You can also want to bet starter, too. That's a whole other thing. Want to bet smarter? You can start with smarter insights. Right now, you can check out VSiN's March Mania Betting Guide, Adam Burke's NIT Preview and Futures, and Greg Peterson's Best Bets in College Basketball. This is all at VSiN.com, by the way. And later today, you can check out Zach Cohen's Best Bets in the NBA, Wes Reynolds' Valspar Championship Preview, all the Valspar, and Jonathan Davis's NHL Best Bets. To get access to all the articles and betting guides on VSiN.com right now, you can sign up for as little as $9.99. Just head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. We get tweets of beating the book. Oh, the reviews are in for the Megapod. The, let's see, Spencer Strider enthusiast at NCAAF Recruiter. He says, I legit wait all year for this episode. This is honestly the best podcast of the whole year. I was one of those people who won all their bracket pools and contests from the 2023 pod. Win or lose, I'm riding. Can't wait. It's out there. And Ryan Hyatt, this should be presented, talking about the Megapod, to the American public like the old Time Life book series in the 70s, 80s. It's that important. Thank you, Ryan. Durbin, P24, you had me at Todd. The man is a force of nature. Sly Bry at DJ Sly Bry. I have a 5+ hour drive back to Arizona tonight, and you don't go 5 hours here? Inconsiderate bastards, all of you. Criticism well taken. By the way, you know how we did the Megapod yesterday finally? We barged into the studio and did it for an hour and 15 minutes right after the Stormy Bonatoni show.
I asked Wyatt when I got in here today. I was like, hey, how did it end up shaking out? He's like, oh, they all came back to Circa.
We all came right back. We're like, we need to squeeze this in. Sorry. We have nowhere to go.
When we left yesterday, I thought Todd was going to be sitting on Gil's lap and they'd be sharing a microphone from Gil's place.
And then Von Wrinkle was like, you got an hour and 15 minutes. Go. I'm like...
Wait, what is there, a show after us or something?
It's only your most downloaded podcast ever. Okay, let's talk to Joe Pita, shall we? Joe Pita came on the show a couple weeks ago. We were so thrilled to have him back because you know him as a baseball bettor from years gone by. He worked at ESPN Chalk, primarily doing baseball over there. But then he segued into golf analytics, and he's done so much, obviously an author of multiple books, Trading Bases, Moneyball for the Money Set. It goes on and on. Author and now sports bettor once again, Joe Pita joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at MagicRatSF. Joe, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Gil. I've been up for a couple hours. I didn't hear you mention in the first segment opening day last night.
Yes, I was waiting for you.
Hey, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
It's my understanding that when you bet first five, that you do not, you do that so that you do not get involved with the bullpen.
That's right. That's
therefore,
right.
For those of us with the Cubs, do we get a refund since the starter only went four and then the bullpen blew the first five underdog victory?
I'm going to check on that, Joe, and I'll get back to you. I'll go away. I'll leave right now. What Joe's referring to is that Imanaga went four. He was not efficient. He gave up a lot of walks, but he did not give up a run. And then the second he left the game, the Dodgers went to town. Dodgers win it 4-1. And now for those of us who have 1st-10 and March-April bets, most wins, we are now hoping for the Cubs to win the second of the back-to-back in Tokyo. How do you feel about this Tokyo idea, by the way?
Yeah, I mean, I know why they do it. I don't like it, you know, in terms of the rhythm of the season. But certainly, look, you had two, you know, you had two native Japanese starting the game, right? That's a big moment for, you know, international baseball. So I certainly get it. But no, I don't like, I'm glad that my teams, you know, that I root for have not been involved in.
Yeah, Joe referring to the Imanaga versus Yamamoto opening day there in Tokyo. And they will play again tonight. And then there'll be a break before everybody starts play on March 27th. That's when the real earnest baseball season begins. But these games count last night and tonight. Okay, we'll get to some college basketball stuff, but let's sort of continue with the baseball talk that you were great with last week. You gave us a bunch of season wins, but there wasn't a lot of National League in there. Where did you want to go first here?
Yeah, that's right. Kelly, do you want to direct me to either, I don't know how you have the graphic, but National League West or National League East? You tell me.
We're going to go with the National League West or whichever one I have. Yes, National League West. National League West.
That's perfect. So, Gil, this wasn't a pick, and obviously it's past post time now, but certainly people were asking me, hey, what do you think about the Dodgers? The market's 105, right? Crazy high market. You know, my reaction was, look, that's a snap call to the under. In all the years you and I have been doing this, and I've been doing this since 2011, the only team that I thought was a lock to win 100 games were the 2011 Phillies. And that was because they were rolling out four aces, you know, out of five every time through the rotation. And Roy Oswalt was number four and would have been the number one on at least 20 other teams. So they all threw seven innings a game and you were going to get 32 starts from them, right? That is not the case in this Dodgers team. 105 wins is priced for perfection. So it's not a play, but it does lead into what is the play. And it might surprise you because the Arizona Diamondbacks were one of the luckiest cluster luck teams in baseball from an offensive perspective last year. They scored 50 to 60 more runs than their underlying components would have suggested, right? So usually that's a case for regression. But that was a team, they come in. So last year they won 90, I think, one games. They came in, I really saw them as an 85-win team. Well, that's where they're priced this year, Gil. They've still got the highest scoring offense in baseball, and they add Corbin Burns to their rotation. Plus, they've revamped the bullpen. This is going to be a team that gives up a lot fewer runs than last year. They have a great offense, despite the, you know, it might not be 900 runs a year good like it was last year, but 800 runs a year is still well above average. This might be, as I really look at this, especially now, you know, I gave you the Yankees under as my favorite play 2 weeks ago. And obviously
that has aged well. Yes.
Yeah. That has aged well. This may be my favorite bet on the board though.
Wow.
Outside that one is the more I look at this, I really like this Diamondbacks roster offensively and the improvements they've made to run suppression. At 85 wins, right? At circa last night, it was 86.5. I do like that. So that's my play in the NL West. I'm not wild about the Giants at all. That is such a meh team. And I do think the Rockies, not the Marlins or the White Sox, may actually be the worst team in baseball. So really like the Diamondbacks covering that division.
Yeah, the Giants feel like they're going to be 82-80 for the next 10 years. You're right.
Very, at best, right? Like that's their ceiling.
Yeah. The Phillies remind me, because I remember when we were talking about the time, we're like, this is just unfair at this point. Halliday, Hamels, Oswalt, and who was the fourth?
Cliff Lee.
Cliff Lee, of course.
You'd really put Cliff Lee number two there. yeah, that. So, Gil, that leads in. Let's go to the National League East, because I see some parallels. The Phillies were great five. Well, let's start with this. Do you know who the oldest three of the four oldest teams in terms of offense or, you know, regular day players, three of the four oldest teams in baseball last year were the Braves, the Mets, and the Phillies. On the pitching side, it's just as bad. The Mets and the Braves were the two oldest teams. The Phillies were right behind them. The Mets and the Braves have gotten younger. The Braves, just via dint of getting more, you know, playing time from Acuna Jr. And the Mets, of course, by adding Juan Soto, their catcher, when he comes off the disabled list, I think he's 23 years old with a lot of upside. That team is going to be better. Those two teams are going, are getting younger. The Phillies are not. And there is, I see huge cliff risk for the Phillies. On offense, Gil, Alex Bohm is the only guy on the happy side of 30. And he's past his peak. He's 28. And the Philly fans are trying to run him out of town. This team, it's not a good defensive team, and especially if they're, if their only real good defensive player was Rojas in center last year, and they're making moves in center to give him less playing time. I see huge collapse risk with the Phillies. At the same time, moving to, so the Phillies under our play, and moving over to the Mets, as much as I hate this Pairs trade, it's got to be the Mets to the over. And Gil, I'll give you this. I know you like this type of logic.
Yes.
We know that from a war perspective, everything is context neutral, right? So if a guy hits a home run, no matter what team he's on, that's worth like 1.4 runs, because that's what a home run is worth, you know, with league average on base percentage, right? League average, everything. Well, Pete Alonso is hitting behind on base machines. Re-signing Alonso was so key to that club. If there is a 900 run club in baseball this year, it's the New York Mets. I know the starting rotation excites no one and is actually probably an Achilles heel right now, but it just doesn't matter as much anymore. With starters going five innings, they've got a bullpen. They may have a wipeout bullpen. So the Mets over, and that number actually has dropped the game. I've got the, at circa, I've got the Mets over 90 and the Phillies under 90. Both of those were 91 a couple of weeks ago. So that's my plays for the National League East. That rounds out eight picks overall. And I think there was, because we gave the Pirates 2 weeks ago, it's four National League, four American League.
I like
it. If these are under 500, you'll never see me handicap baseball again.
Hey, you're like Roxy. Yeah. Well, wow. He had all these great years. Then 1 year he goes 2-3. He's like, I'm done.
We're losing all these people. Yeah, geez.
That's right. By the way, it should be mentioned, Joe is a Phillies fan, lifetime fan too. So he means what he's saying. Coming back with more Joe next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you ready to take your sports betting to a whole another level? Hey, Abron, D-Nice. The Sharp Plays at SharpPlays.com is your secret weapon. Since 2011, they've been building trusted relationships with major sportsbooks and sports insiders worldwide. They provide daily updates on what top professional sports bettors and betting groups are wagering on, so you're always ahead of the game. But that's not all. They just launched a cutting-edge AI betting analyst that provides even more selections and reports, giving you the edge you need to win. The best part, you can check out the Sharp Plays free content anytime. Get real-time betting action reports, alerts, and more through email and X directly from the pros. Plus, explore all their records, including detailed online logs, right on the website at sharpplays.com. With the Sharp Plays, you're joining a team that's never had a losing year. What do you have to lose? Start today and get access to the best betting insights at sharpplays.com. Never had a losing year, huh? Hmm, interesting. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets. Beating the book. Always appreciated. This is from... from Ray. Oh, no, Ray's responding to somebody else about the formula. A whole bunch of formula response. Again, five teams applying out of the college, five teams apply to the college basketball formula in terms of winning it all. Florida, the fly in the ointment, the clear fly in the ointment. Jesse Welch, on the Megapod, when Todd says the ANG show, I half expected Kelly to pop up and say, a numbers game. Yeah, I did as well.
Is that what he called it? The ANG show?
The ANG. When I was on the ANG show, Rideco 99, FYI, I saw 88-1 and 14-1 Osaka on Bet365. Bet365 always trumping the odds. DraftKings, you said, Kelly, had better odds on Osaka too, right?
Yeah, 12-1 on the quarter. That's down to 11-1.
There you go.
That 11-1. I don't have the outright price in front of me. Stations, if you're in Las Vegas.
Yeah. Stations is always doing their thing. Don't know how much they're going to take, but they got a better number. New York Mets 16. Just finished the Megapod. Gil has leaflet on leaflet violence in the NCAA championship. Yes, I do. I think a lot of people have leaflet on leaflet violence in the championship game.
Yeah, they might just not know it.
They just don't know it. That's right. That's exactly right. Jack Larkin from Sports Radio. Can we get some early Survivor thoughts today? I'll get into that tomorrow. I just wanted to give my strategic points on it later. Jason Lisk will join us to do that as well. Let's see. Chris Hauser finally watching live instead of replay a few hours later. And Gil hook us up with the Survivor deets. Again, Unabated has one. Unabated has a Survivor, so you can go over there and play it. Mine is an invite-only one, Kelly. I can't really invite everybody.
Yeah, that gets a little tricky.
Yeah, it gets a little tricky. Sorry about that. Jeffrey R. said DK just took down quarter two, but they put it back up. They took it down because they're like, what's all this happening? And then they put it right back up. Let's see. Survivor Sweat has a Survivor, according to Chris Hauser. And Brosec 1870, looking forward to the Will Hill segment because we will find out on this show what one of Will's Elite Eight plays it.
Oh, let's go.
Oh, yeah, it's ridiculous.
I'm over here laughing at Drew Dinzik scrambling to make his guest spot that he forgot we changed the time on.
Joe Pete is kind enough to join us for a second, though. He joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at MagicRatSF. Given some more season win totals in the last segment. What I love about Joe and what I love about so many of our guests is that they also listen to the show, and so they comment on things either that I said or you said or one of our guests said. I said earlier about, oh, man, could we imagine if we had these kinds of betting guides 20 years ago? You wanted to say something about that?
Yeah, Gil, when I was a young rookie CPA out of Virginia Tech working in the D.C. area at Arthur Andersen, the Monday, and I'm sure you remember this, the Monday after the brackets came out, I would go to the newsstand at like 5 a.m. to make sure I could get a USA Today because they had a capsule of all 64 teams. And Gil, by 10 in the morning Monday, I was an expert on the bracket.
I remember that well. People don't forget USA Today in a jam had some amazing features, and that was one of them.
Yeah, like you could get the free throw percentage for all 64 teams. That used to always be an angle I'd go with, you know, for getting through the bracket.
It's so true. Who was the media guy? Kratzky, what was his name in the USA Today? Rudy
that I don't
something?
Remember. Oh, Rudy, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, oh, it was great back then. And then Jason Weingarten said some stuff about Sandy Alcantara that you wanted to comment on.
Yeah, and this really, look, the Marlins have a history now under this new regime of trading their best players well before the trade deadline. So I think what you're going to have with Alcantara is 4 to 5 starts before Derby Day in May, and then he is going to be traded, if he's healthy as a showcase, he's going to be traded by Memorial Day. And Joe Sheehan, who I still think is the best baseball writer in America with a great newsletter, he really pegs the perfect landing spot in terms of what teams can offer the Marlins and need for as the Baltimore Orioles. So National League Cy Young, you know, that could go up in flames, you know, 6 weeks into the season. He's going to be traded. And if he's not traded, he's not healthy.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see where he lands. But as I say, Joe Sheehan really lays out a case. There's a couple other American League teams, too. Boston, I think, was one. But the Orioles, it's just a perfect landing spot for a team trying to make the leap to the World Series.
Our buddy Joe Sheehan with the Joe Sheehan newsletter. I'll say a couple things on that. One, Jason did allow for that. He did sort of turn around on the Sandy Alcantara thing. He's like, yeah, he'll probably get traded. And then with the Orioles, my reaction is if only they had a living, breathing front office to make that trade and go for it. That would be wonderful. Okay, let me go to the Fezzik segment from Friday. A couple things happened. One was the more humorous one, that he was on the Love Connection back in 1993. You wanted to say something about that?
Yeah, Gil, that cracked me up because the best Love Connection segment ever was not on Love Connection. It was on The Simpsons. And I know you talked about the show. Three guys had come out. They'd bro it up, talk about the dates they went on, and see if there was a love connection. So during an episode of The Simpsons, he's watching the show and, you know, Chuck Woolery does the normal thing. He's like, hey, you know, guests, introduce yourself, and tell us, what one of your favorite activities are. And so the first guy is like, hi, my name's Chad. I'm a lifeguard. And Chuck, I like making bacon on the beach. And of course, the guys start laughing. Homer is sitting on his couch, and then you zero in on his head, and he has this little thought bubble, and he is sitting on the beach in a lounge chair with a skillet, and he's actually over a bonfire, and he's saying to himself, making bacon on the beach. And to a, you know, in the early 90s when I'm 25 years old, I think that's the funniest. That's the height of comedy.
It is. It is funny how things land on you at that age. Kelly missed the whole Fezzik Love Connection thing. Man, did you miss a show?
I watched the clip back. Wow.
Oh, man. That was something.
That was something.
It was something. All right.
I spent like 11 minutes trying to find it.
Oh, the actual? No one can find it.
Ben Wilson, you're on it. You found the Love Zone once upon a time.
Ben Wilson found the Slow Jam CD. Okay, the other thing we talked about, obviously, from a betting perspective, Fezzik and I was about the rolling money line parlay versus a future. And Fezzik made the case, which I think was an accurate one, because it was a nuanced conversation about how there's a cottage industry of folks who always say the money line parlay is more favorable. You wanted to say what about that?
Yeah, it was nuanced, and you guys brought up great points. I did want to say that, like, let's think of it from the March Madness, and I know this must come up for you in tennis too. Let's say there's a 3 seed you like to make the Final Four. So instead of doing the roll, you just want to bet the future. And the answer is, well, the rollover would be better. Not if one of your theories for taking the 3 seed is that you think they're in a bracket with a weak one or a weak two. Yes, if they have to get through the 2 and the 1 to get to the Final Four, of course the rolling bets are better. But if that 1 or 2 gets knocked out, which may be part of your scenario, by the time they play then that weaker team, the rolling parlay may now be the favorite. And that rolling parlay would not be as good. So it really just, you have to sort of think about, why do I think there's value in this future? If it's because the favorites might get knocked out, then the rolling parlay maybe is not the best way.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Another thing is, and before you go here, because we have 90 seconds, exchanges, great way to bet this time of year.
Yeah, Gil, and this came up. Look, you and I and so many of your regular guests, we're all cut from the same cloth, right? And I respect their work so much, and yet I see that they're not getting as much return out of their work as they should. There was an example this weekend, not a friend of mine, so I won't mention his name, but you know what I'm talking about. Saturday before the Michigan Maryland game, a very respected sports bettor, former guest on your show, tweeted out that he liked Michigan +5 -120. Well, it happens to be that during that hour before the game, I was on Profit Exchange trying to do exactly that same bet. And he, like I say, he recommended Michigan +5 -120 as a play of his. Well, and I showed you my ticket, Gil. I got Michigan +5 at +102, and I got Michigan +4.5 at +107. Just a massive improvement. And, I showed you the ticket. There was a comma in it. This wasn't, this wasn't a $12 bet. Right. And I, so many, like I say, we're all cut from the same cloth. I know some of your listeners are. The price improvement you get at any exchange, but specifically Profit Exchange, it's fantastic. And I don't want to be too promotional because I have been an investor since day one. But my God, we can all increase our return on bets.
Well said. Joe Pita, everybody. Thank you so much, Joe. Coming back with Drew Dinsick.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Take your betting to the next level with First Bet. Whether it's Santa Anita, Gulfstream Park, or the road to the Kentucky Derby and Preakness, First Bet puts the action at your fingertips. Sign up now, firstbet.com. That's the #1stbet.com, and use promo code VSID200 to score a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. Don't miss out. Bet smarter today at firstbet.com. We got a whole bunch of taking betting to another level and betting smarter. You notice that?
Betting smarter. That is right. That's in a lot of them.
It's nice of me to notice. Nice of me to point it out on air. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Harold Irving.
What's up, Harold?
He goes, USA Today always published the numbers of the great Jeff Sagarin, giving us early analytics. Yes, USA Today did. Todd Bubba Horwitz, our friend. Rudy Martsky. That was his name.
Yeah.
Rudy Martsky was the media guy. Joe Pita is great. Yes, he is. Jason Zenner. Oh, my God. I was just telling my wife about the USA Today paper on the Monday after Selection Sunday, along with each team's capsule. It had a full-size printout of the bracket. Yes, it did. It was so good. This is like, we're talking like early 80s now. Or the entire 1980s, kind of, I believe. Maybe even bled into the 90s. Bill Hooker, Osaka, 14-1, Q2 at Bet365. Bet365 always with the better number. Just Call Me Skip. USA Today's March Madness capsules was the best. They had it online until 3 years ago. I do a fantasy draft for March Madness. Their capsule was a critical part of my preparation. So much harder now. There you go. Okay. A lot of USA Today love from folks. Always appreciated. This gentleman is the host of his own podcast called the Shoulda Bet More podcast. He's also part of the Bear Bets Empire, Chris Felica's empire over there at Fox Sports with all their podcasts. And of course, he's one of the stars of the Megapod during the football season and the March Madness version. He was kind enough to join us. He's part of it. Join me and Todd Wishnev yesterday. We were in studio. Will was remote to do our annual March Madness podcast. He called FAU in the Final Four famously 2 years ago. He's looking to catch that high once again, chasing that high. It's Will Hill, everybody, and not the Will Hill on Twitter, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's happening, man?
Gilly, what's going on? I'm so excited. Best time of the year. I love it. You mentioned Rudy Martsky. I think he just, I used to love reading his stuff. I think he just passed a couple months ago, right around the holidays. Him and John Feinstein, a couple of legends that have left us recently.
Yeah, I thought, you know, it's funny. You said Rudy Martsky did die recently. I thought it was a long time ago. I don't know why. Yeah. And then John Feinstein, obviously a great, you know, Washington Post sports section when I grew up, it was Kornheiser, Wilbon, Tom Boswell in baseball, Andrew Beyer in horse racing, John Feinstein, and who's the guy, Norman Chad, who now does poker, he used to do media stuff. Like, what a newspaper to grow up on. Feinstein, part of that. He was awesome.
Is Norman Chad still doing poker stuff?
Oh, I don't know. Is he?
I don't know, man. If he has, he's been doing it for like 25 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know him from the sports reporters. It used to be him, Lupica, Dick Schaap, you know, Mitch Albom, Bob Ryan. It was good. It was like a Sunday morning. They just argue about sports for a half hour. I felt like I was the only one watching it, but I guess it was more popular than I realized.
John Saunders was on there, I think, as well.
Yes.
He used to do local sports in Baltimore, which we used to pick up on our TVs as well. All right, March Madness. Yesterday we did the Megapod. It was not disappointing at all. A lot of first round upsets. Well, you know, a handful of first round upsets. But then we don't just do the Final Four on the Megapod. We pick our Elite Eight and our Final Four, and obviously we move on from there. You had some big surprises. Do you want to give a couple of those at least?
Sure. And you seemed very disappointed. You started to slouch a little as we got towards the end of it. You know, not that many upsets. Then we got some upsets. You started to sit up straight. You got a little more life into you. Yeah. I mean, a couple of those outraged Todd. Todd, I have Illinois going to the Elite Eight. Todd was not happy about that.
Not happy with you.
A lot of button talk, buttoned up, buttoned down. They don't have any buttons, whatever his theory was, but Illinois in the Elite Eight, to me, they're just they're a team with a lot of talent that's had a lot go wrong this year. It wasn't that long ago, middle of the season, they were fifth or sixth favorite to win the whole thing. And they just, like, they've had illnesses and injuries. They've had bad shooting from three-point range, and their opponents have hit a lot of three-pointers. They had a good, like, month stretch where kind of everything went wrong, and you're wondering if maybe they're going to play themselves out of the bubble. They've come out of that a little bit. They've got a pro. They've got a European big. That's an NBA player that's a lottery pick. I had Ian Eagle on my podcast last week, and I asked him, do you have a sleeper for the tournament? And before I could almost finish the question, he said definitively Illinois. He's seen him in person a bunch of times, super talented. So I've got Illinois going to the Elite Eight. I've got St. Mary's going to the Elite Eight. It'll be a fascinating matchup if they can get to Alabama in round two, just the contrast of styles. But the math is so stacked in their favor because they get so many extra possessions, offensive rebounding, cleaning up the glass, and defensive rebounding. Forcing turnovers, not turning over. So I have St. Mary's making a run. And then my one shocker, look, I've got 3-1s in the Final Four, but I also have UC San Diego. I just think, and you're going to hear a lot of this week, oh, it's too trendy. They're too trendy. They can't beat Michigan. Everyone's picking them. Maybe. Look, they're either going to win or they're going to lose. It's not going to – who's picking them, who's not picking them, to me, has nothing to do with it. They turn you over a lot, and Michigan turns it over a lot. So I think that's a good matchup for them. Plus Michigan, 3 games in 3 days. Now they're playing in Colorado in altitude. And on the other side of that bracket, if they make it to round two, I'm not positive A&M beats Yale. I took Yale in our bracket. Yale's a really solid team. A&M can't shoot. I think that'll be a close, low-scoring game. Yale has had a habit of getting in this tournament and making some noise. They beat Baylor their first appearance in 2016. They beat Auburn last year. That's a really good coach. So I got, and if those things happen, you know what? You get to the second weekend, and then who knows? Maybe Auburn gets picked off in round two or whatever against Louisville or Creighton. So UC San Diego to the Final Four is my real stunner there.
UC San Diego, the Tritons, to get to the Final Four. As you said, Will, is it become too trendy to say that it's a trendy pick,
yes,
or has it become too trendy to say that it's too trendy? That it's a trendy pick. It's a whole thing. But, it's a whole Princess Bride thing.
Yes. But, and by the way, I remember 2 years ago, everyone loved Furman over Virginia. You know what? Furman beat him. Now, they stole the game late, but Furman's the one. Last year, James Madison over Wisconsin was another one. It's like, oh, man, everyone's got James Madison. You know how that goes. James Madison won. I remember doing the Megapod last year. We all picked UConn to win. UConn won. So you could twist yourself into a pretzel mentally sometimes with this stuff. Oh, everyone's picking it, so it's not going to happen. Our brain sort of parses out when that works out in our favor and when it doesn't. And, you know, we kind of, I don't know. I think that's just a dangerous way to pick these games.
Which were the first round lines that when they came out, you're like, this is wrong. Got to bet this.
That's a good question. I thought that Grand Canyon was getting too much at 11.5. That's moved. I think that moved to like 9.5 or 9. Now it's kind of in the middle at 10.5.
Yep.
I just think I worry they play too fast to pull an upset. We were talking about it yesterday. Upsets happen in the 50s and 60s. They generally don't happen in the 70s or 80s, but they get to the foul line a lot. They are right near the top of the board here in terms of in the country getting to the foul line. And Maryland, for all of their strengths, they are very thin. They don't have a lot of depth. So you start getting some of those guys in foul trouble, that could be trouble. So I do like Grand Canyon to cover. As someone who lives in Connecticut and has watched UConn a lot, I have a hard time laying 4.5 with UConn against anybody. I think that's a lot of bias. It's basically a tax on the brand, the uniform, on Hurley. And it's one of those games where if you pick against UConn, you're going to feel like an idiot and vice versa, because everyone thinks, oh, it's the calendar's going to flip to March. Hurley's going to turn it on. UConn's going to turn it on. They've got some real, real problems defensively. They foul a lot. They don't turn you over. Now, I think they've got a decent matchup offensively for Oklahoma, so maybe you look towards an over here. I think this is a toss-up game. Remember, Oklahoma was undefeated, I think 13-0 in non-conference. So, to me, you're paying a major tax here on the UConn brand, the UConn uniform.
I don't want to neglect the games before March Madness. So, obviously, there's first four tonight. You have a thought on one of those, I know, at least. And then there's the other tournaments, right? Which, from a betting standpoint, there have been some truisms through the years. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, I know Fez is big on this. The NIT overs, just because it's fast, you know, fast, happy, fun times where we're not in. Who cares? Especially the bubble teams that thought they could get in. Now they're in the NIT. All right, we don't really care. We'll shoot early in the shot clock. We're not going to play the most intense defense. So I know Fez likes those NIT overs. I've done pretty well. If you could pick out some of these teams that are big underdogs, you see a lot of upsets. It's almost like bowl games in college football, where who's going to be motivated, who isn't. You can get some of these dogs at 2-3 to 1 on the money line. Some of these, you're going to get some upsets, because this is not, you know, these are not regular season games or conference games, especially this early in the tournament. Motivation can be a little shaky. So I think underdogs and overs are an interesting way to attack the NIT games. And I do like San Diego State quite a bit tonight. I just think that there's a rest disadvantage. First of all, San Diego State went out early in the Mountain West. This is their second game in 10 days. Meanwhile, this is North Carolina's fourth game in 6 days. I just think San Diego State can slow them down. And if you can keep Carolina out of transition and make them play a half-court offense, it's a shaky team. I know San Diego State, they're not great on offense, so maybe you look at a first-half under. But I like San Diego State here. I think Dutcher versus Hubert Davis, who, by the way, once played pickup basketball with Todd Wishnev. I'm not sure if you heard about that.
Yeah.
I think that's a good coaching advantage for San Diego State.
Yeah. Y'all think I tell the same stories a lot. Man, you should hang out with Wishnev sometimes. Here you go, Carolina. And then tomorrow night, you like Xavier. It's 3 now, though, against Texas.
Three I look towards a cheap money line. I actually, digging into this matchup more, the other game, the American Mount St. Mary's. To me, that's an under, a first half under. They American is, I think, the fourth slowest team in the country, and both teams are just dreadful on offense. So that could be like, you know, 25-23 at the end of the first half.
The way the story goes, Wishnev didn't recognize that it was Hubert Davis, and Wishnev happened to be wearing Carolina shorts, and Hubert, and he kept demanding the ball underneath, and so Hubert Davis was like, okay, Carolina, here you go. That's great. Thank you, Will. Appreciate it.
You guys, thanks.
Drew Dinsick with some basketball NBA style next.